Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
We're back. It's 12 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my website is www.jbsba.com. I'm excited about having Phyllis Martin back on the show because it's always fun when Phyllis joins us. Phyllis is a renaissance woman, ladies and gentlemen. She's a human resources expert. She's an executive. She's a syndicated columnist. She's a radio talk show host. She's an author. One of the smartest people I know. She's the author of a book that's just selling, has been selling for years like hotcakes, Word Watchers Handbook, now out in, I think maybe the fourth edition. And 15th print. Something under a million copies of this book has been sold. Oh, okay. She's also the author of, along with her husband, of some fiction. One of them is called Killing is Murder that she wrote with some other folks. And her romantic novel called Return to Chipping Sodbury. She's our good friend, Phyllis Martin. Welcome back to the show.
Oh, thank you. Good to be here. I was just going to say, I borrowed some material today from the Plain English Campaign. It's a group that advocates the use of plain, understandable language.
Well, they're my heroes because they're also working on getting the plain language into legal documents, too, aren't they?
Oh, yes. And wouldn't that be a relief?
Woo. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's amazing how bad the legal documents have gotten, and we need to try to fix those. But one of the things I know you want to talk about today, Phyllis, are cliches and how they can get us into trouble. Tell us what a cliche is. I know people think they know what it is, but what is the definition of a cliche?
It's a tired phrase, one that you say over and over because you're fond of, you don't realize each of us have our own. And so some of the phrases I mention, the listener might think, oh, I don't use that, but you use something else. And so you have to identify your own tired phrases.
What's an example of something, of a cliche, that somebody would use over and over again?
Oh, okay. Well, this is our ballpark figure. Uh-huh. And very recently I heard someone, this was at Ronald Reagan's funeral, and the speaker kept saying, as it were, as it were, as it were. And he didn't realize he did it, and I thought...
Are those cliches? See, I never thought about that as a cliche.
Nor I, until I heard it so much.
Yeah. Well, I always think of those as mannerisms.
Well, perhaps so.
What's the difference in a mannerism and a cliche?
A conversational tic is usually shorter. For example, some people say, and that at the end of every sentence.
Or you know.
Oh, yes. That's the biggest.
Mm-hmm.
But we have others, ballpark figure, bottom line, and one that has become a cliche, it was fresh at first, it's not rocket science.
Wait a minute, Phyllis. Now, you're stepping on some toes here.
Oh, I know.
I love that one.
Oh.
I'm sorry. I love that one.
Well, don't say it too often.
Oh, no, I don't say it too often.
All right. Move the goalpost. You've heard that.
Yeah.
Push the envelope. Mm-hmm. Touch base, between a rock and a hard place.
Give me some feedback.
Yeah. You want me to?
No, I say, yeah. No,
yeah,
I don't.
That's one.
Yeah, that's one. That's a good one. But, those are good. You know, and sometimes words, not even phrases, but words are overused, and they become tried and archaic and cliche, But doggone it, I still like to use them. I can't help it. You know what one of my favorite words is? I don't use this a lot, but I use it when it's appropriate. But it irritates me when people overuse it because then it becomes cliche, and that's paradigm.
Oh, my.
I think paradigm is an important word.
Yes.
Now, paradigm is the way you see the world. Essentially, that's the basic definition. A paradigm is your idea about how things should be, whether it be about the way a car should look, or the member of the opposite sex should look, or you know, how you want things to be. It's sort of the world according to you, and I really think that's a powerful word. But I've had people tell me I shouldn't use that word because it's become cliche. Well, just because somebody uses it wrong doesn't mean I can't use it correctly.
Right, and use it, but don't overuse it.
Right.
Yeah, and in fact, I have a feeble phrase finder in the Word Watchers handbook, and I look at it myself because I'm so afraid I might be using feeble phrases that make whatever I'm writing less vital.
What's an example?
Nth degree, your number is up.
Oh, yeah.
Off the record, old as Methuselah. I look at these things when I'm writing anything, and I go through my feeble phrase finder, and if it's there, I think, well, maybe I can find something else that's a little shinier.
Is there a difference between using those things in casual conversation, if you and I are just visiting, and using them in a professional setting?
I think there is.
For example, if you and I are just having a hamburger somewhere, and I said, you know, she's older than he, or he's older than Methuselah, or whatever, you know, I would never use that for women, obviously, but if I said, you know, he's older than Methuselah, you'd let me go on that, wouldn't you? But if I stood up in a speech and said it, you'd take me to task on it, wouldn't you?
Probably so. But I think most things that we say, such as this, if we say it over and over, I remember, and I won't tell who this is because you might recognize her, but we used to sit in the audience and see how many times she said basically.
Yeah.
And I remember sitting there, you know how you write 1, 2, 3, 4, and then you cross it? And I think I heard her say it 12 times.
Well, and see, that's when a cliche becomes a mannerism, because what a mannerism to me, and this is what I was taught many years ago, a mannerism is anything that causes the audience, that whoever's listening to you, to focus on that instead of what you're saying.
Oh, you are exactly right. You are exactly
so,
right.
So that's how, when I said a minute ago, what's the difference? Well, it's as you said, I think you probably said this, it's when you overuse a cliche that it becomes a mannerism.
Yes. And I think if we, as communicators, begin to think about the person to whom we're talking, we'll do a better job. I always think of a conversational pie. If you're in a meeting and there are four people, your share is 1/4.
Mm-hmm.
And I think sometimes small business people in particular, well, you're so sold on your own, the services that you offer, the product that you offer.
We're excited.
Of course. And sometimes we will say something, and I heard this, I'm certain this plan will work.
Uh-huh.
It might be better to say to the customer, consumer, you'll find this
right.
Extremely helpful.
Right. Phyllis, stand by. We're going to take a quick break. Phyllis Martin, ladies and gentlemen, she's helping us clean up our conversational act, and she does it well. She's the author of Word Watchers Handbook, available wherever books are sold, and we're going to give you another website when we come back after these messages. It's 20 after. Whatever you do, don't go away.
Don't you need somebody?
We're back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're visiting with our good friend Phyllis Martin, the author of Word Watchers Handbook. Phyllis, give us your website, please.
I don't want to give my website. What I want to give is iUniverse.com.
Oh, yeah. That's
right. Where you can buy Word Watchers Handbook, and also, what's the biggie? Try iUniverse.com.
You mean Amazon?
Yes.
Yeah, Amazon.
You can
get, but iUniverse.com, I know that, and that's what I meant to say. I meant to get you to tell us that website. Because, folks, I encourage you to check out Word Watchers Handbook. She's re-released it. Kept after her year after year after year because I wanted folks to have this book. It's a deletionary, folks. It's not a dictionary. It's a deletionary of the most abused and misused words, and it'll help you clean up your act when you speak. And you know, Phyllis, we all have the tendency to do these things, don't we? We all have the tendency to use cliches, to use the wrong words. I spoke to a guy yesterday, and he said two different things that were so odd. He mispronounced two words that were so odd that to this day I don't. This was yesterday. Today, I don't remember what he was talking about, but I remember how badly he used those words.
Oh, you do. And in fact, this book, by the way, was put in print. Authors Guild did it when they heard you're the one who was the spur behind my, what did you say, for a nice cliche, but you were.
Well,
thank you for that.
Well, I'm glad to do it because it's an important book. And but the thing is that we all need to get better. And you know, small business owners, Phyllis, we only have so much time in the day. And when we have an opportunity to meet somebody, to network with folks, you know, I wrote an article this week about networking thoughts that was in my newsletter this week, folks. If
you want to subscribe,
you can get that. If you subscribe this week, you can still get that one. But the thing about it is you only have so much time to meet people who can become a customer or who can, you know, you can wind up having a good business relationship with that's good for both parties. But you only have so much time, and if you waste that time, if you sort of corrupt that time by not speaking well, then basically you've wasted your time.
Oh yeah.
And it's not necessary, and I don't want to hear anybody making excuses for themselves that, you know, you don't have this, you don't have that, or whatever. You can learn, you can get better. If you're not where you want to be, I know I'm not where I want to be. I want to get better. That's the reason I have Phyllis Martin on the show, so she can help me get better.
Oh, you are so right. Linguistic lemons can sour any relationship.
See, you can't go anywhere else and get that kind of a turn of phrase, ladies and gentlemen. Only on this show do you get Phyllis Martin talking about that.
Well, linguistic lemons do you in. They really do.
Well, and I'll tell you something else. I've actually heard people that I knew were educated people who misused words, as you say, abused and misused words. And instead of me being impressed with what they've accomplished in their education and their background, I actually, their impression was diminished to me.
Oh yes.
And I'll tell you what I've started doing, Phyllis. If I get to know somebody well enough, and a lot of people won't do this, but I will because I just feel like I need to. I'll say, "Do you realize that you're saying so and so?" And they'll say, "Well," usually they'll say, "No, I don't." Well, you're saying it this way, and I don't think that's the way it's supposed to be said.
Oh,
you can't do that. You can't do that to people you don't know.
No, but you are doing them a big favor. And I would say to anyone who is listening, ask those who are close to you, those who work for you, those who work beside you, your spouse, your children, to point out your errors in speech. And you're
you don't have to ask your children to do that. They're usually pretty.
Oh,
they usually do that all by themselves.
Oh, I know, and they're
especially
not
the teenagers.
Right. I know.
Well, but the thing is we need to help these people. And a friend of mine, Noah St. John, calls those people loving mirrors.
Oh, I like
that. Isn't that a great way to say that?
Oh, yeah.
It's a combination of a critic and a safe harbor in the same person.
Oh, yes. And I hope everybody listening will ask for that kind of help because we all need it. I was so shocked when I asked my husband, Bruce, to monitor my speech before I submitted a Word Watcher's handbook. And he pointed out a mistake that I made, and I thought, oh, why didn't you tell me? He said, because you didn't ask.
Oh, no. Well,
oh,
you know,
yeah.
And the thing is that when I write anything, I can't edit my own writing. Somebody else has to edit it because I'll read it 100 times, and I won't find something that needs to be found. We can't edit our own speech as well as other people hearing it, the consumer of our speech.
Oh, absolutely. Yes. So please get a monitor for you or a mentor. Yeah, that will help.
Have you got any more cliches before we go?
Oh, yes. For all intents and purposes, keep tabs on, know what I mean or know what I'm saying. I know someone very well who says that after everything.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes. Can of worms, walk a tightrope, think outside the box.
Yeah.
And that's what we need to do, but the phrase has become tired.
Yeah.
And value added so often.
Oh, no, Phyllis, don't take that one away from me. I love that one.
All right, you keep it, but don't do it too often.
Okay, so all of these are not so bad if they're used at the right time, just not to the point where it becomes overused. Is that what you're saying?
That's exactly right.
Okay.
You said
Phyllis,
it well.
Thank you for being here. Phyllis Martin, ladies and gentlemen, we couldn't do without her. We won't do without her. Phyllis Martin will be back. Thanks, Phyllis. See you next time.
Okay, good.
Word Watchers Handbook. Check that out at iUniverse, also at Amazon. Phyllis Martin with two L's, by the way. Quick break. I'll be right back with our good friend Jorian Clark after these messages. This show is brought to you by IBM and Office Depot.
I'll soon be with you, my love.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.